The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated.
Y'all, I was a terrible sinner in fourth grade. I remember this one particular incident in which I was new to town, new to class. I was actually new to the country. My family had just moved from Canada. And there I was in my new fourth grade class, new kid in every way, and I discovered this wonderful tradition that was being practiced at my school. And the tradition was this. Every time it was someone's birthday, if you were lucky enough to have a birthday during the school year, you would bring in, or your mom would bake for you, and you would bring in some kind of like little treat for all the students, right? Cupcakes or cookies or like a little brownies or whatever it was, and then you got to like go and pass out all the little cupcakes and pass out or the cookies or whatever and take some to the teacher and even go drop some off to the principal and the administrators, and everyone could have like a little celebration of your birthday. Well, it just so happened a few months into my time there, it was someone's birthday, and their mom had baked them a bunch of cupcakes, really good cupcakes with like the really good sprinkle icing, the good stuff, and they were going to pass them all out. Now, the way that the room was set up, you know, I was in the very back row, and all of our rows were two desks pushed together, right? And it was kind of rows of two desks, two desks, two desks. I was in the back there. And my desk mate, the person with the desk right next to mine, was the lucky person who was selected to help the birthday girl pass out all the cupcakes. That's what exactly what they did. They went around and they passed out all the cupcakes, giving one to me and setting one for my desk mate right in the middle of her desk there for when she got back. They finished passing it out to everyone in the class and then joyfully went on to spread the good news of cupcakes to come to the administration and the principal as well. Well, lo and behold, when they returned from that errand, sitting right there exactly as it had been was the wrapper of her cupcake, but with no cupcake inside of it. What a tragedy, a horror, a travesty, and who could have been responsible for this? Everyone in the class was pretty certain that it was me. Or at least, if it wasn't me, I should have seen who did it. But I was, like, adamant. No, of course not me. Like, I had my cupcake, and maybe, I suggested, maybe they just accidentally gave her an empty cupcake. Oh, I will admit to you now, I will confess, it being Lent. Yes, I did, in fact, I took the cupcake. My hunger overcame me. My desire for another's goods, I stole it and I ate it. And then I, very slickly, I thought, replaced the evidence in a way that would exonerate me. But it didn't, right? Everyone knew someone had stole it. Most people knew it was me. And I was just adamant that it wasn't. And so as recess was coming up, my teacher decided no one was going to go to recess until someone admitted that they had taken the cupcake. All my friends or the people around me, friends or not, were yelling at me, turning around like, just say you did it, just say you did it. Like, we all know you did it, right? There was more cupcake, so it's not like she missed out on her cupcake. And finally, like, as I was not having any of it, deny, 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 that was my routine, the teacher passed out little pieces of paper to everyone and said, look, just put on the piece of paper whether you did it or not, and no one's going to recess until someone admits to taking this cupcake. So round one, we all get our little pieces of paper. I write very emphatically, no, I did not take the cupcake. Pass it up. The teacher looks at them, sighs, and says, okay, we're doing this again. We're not going out to recess. It's now like 5. The bell has rung. We're supposed to be out there playing on swing sets, but we're not, and it's my fault. She passes out again. And so just so that everyone doesn't realize that I've given in, that time I write in opposite of, and then I cover that up, and I'm like, no, and show everyone, and then fold it up and pass it forward. Well, the teacher collects all of the little notes. She looks through them, and eventually I think she got to mine, stares at it for a little while, decides that's apparently good enough, and says, all right, everyone can go to recess. Oh, my friends, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. In our scriptures today, it says, indeed, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that it might be saved through him. And my friends, when he comes into the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the light of the world, the judge, right, the arbiter of our lives and all of our strivings for good and for ill. He says in our passage today, he says what he finds, right? Here comes the judge, the only Son of God, and he says, the light has come into the world, and this is the situation that it's found. It's found that people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Now notice here, he doesn't say, like, people hate the light. People hate goodness. People hate truth. And so they go and do bad things. He says, people have done bad things. People have made mistakes. And so when the light has come to them, when grace, when goodness, when truth has come to them, they have said no to it. Because saying yes to the light also means saying yes to being exposed, right? It means admission of all the things that we've done wrong. And this is really, really hard thing to do. So Jesus, also in the gospel today, he references us back to Moses in the desert, right? Our Old Testament reading that we heard today. Moses is in the desert with the Jews. They've escaped from Egypt. They're really complaining about being, like, in the desert. They're wanting to go back to Egypt. They're like, we'd rather be slaves than eat this terrible food and walk this terrible path. And all of a sudden, to top things off, right, poisonous snakes start coming at them and biting them, and people are dying. They're being bitten by poisonous snakes. I mean, in Texas, that's not a comfortable thing. And so they pray to Moses, right? They ask Moses, their leader, for help. Moses prays to God and asks God for help. And what does God say? He says, make an image of the serpent, right? Make a poisonous serpent out of bronze. Make it bright and shiny for all to see, larger than life, and raise it up on a pole so everyone in your camp can see it. And everyone who looks at it will be healed. When they're bitten by a snake, they'll look at it and be healed. And this is really weird, right? Because why a snake? Why wouldn't it be some triumphant image of God? Why not like an angel or a dove or like an olive branch or some symbol of God's forgiveness and peace? No, it's an image of the very thing that is persecuting them, right? And so what he's saying is like, it's something like this. The very thing that assaults you, the very like ramifications of when we do something wrong, the thing that falls in on us and hurts us, that assaults our senses when we think about what someone has done to us or what we have done. It's looking at that that's going to heal us, right? It's looking carefully at the things that are chasing after us, our conscience in our lives, like not looking away from them, that saves us. We can't avoid getting bit in this world, but like it's the hair of the dog, if you will, that saves us. And so, my friends, why don't we do it? Why don't we look at that glorified image of the very thing that's chasing after us? Well, I think back to my fourth grade self, right? My teacher, very wisely, I think, looking back, Mrs. Moore was her name. I think she was just so wise in doing this. She took punishment off the table, right? There I was, caught, busted. Everyone knew I did it. I knew I did it. She knew I did it. God knew I did it. I wasn't going to be punished, and yet there was still resistance, right? There was still part of me that said, I cannot admit to myself or the class that I've done this, admittedly, small cupcake thievery. And why? Because it feels like dying to do that, right? We're really afraid to really look at something that we've done wrong in our own lives. Because, well, one, we might have to like do something about it, and we don't want to do that, right? But even if we don't have to, like me in fourth grade, there's going to be no consequences to looking at it. We don't want to because we're afraid that if we've done bad things, that makes us a bad person. In Lent, we do two things. There are two main purposes to this whole season. One, as we know, it's examination of self. Looking at ourselves this past year, past day, past lifetime, and saying, what have we done wrong? What mistakes have we made? What could we do better? The other thing is, we spend 40 days preparing for Jesus's crucifixion, right? In our liturgy. And as Lent goes on, Jesus in our stories, in scripture, and we ourselves as his community, we get closer and closer to Jerusalem and the crucifixion. And we increasingly put our focus on him, right? We do Stations of the Cross sometimes during Lent. We really get into that story. And here today, Jesus is linking these two things. The church kind of assumes that by this point in Lent, if we've really been examining ourselves, we've probably at least come up against one or two barriers where it's like, I can't go deeper into this thing, or I can't even think of another thing that that I can look at in my life. It's too hard to look at. And so this is where Jesus starts to take over. And he says, right? Just like Moses in our gospel today put up the image of the snake in the wilderness, I will be lifted up in the crucifixion, so that all who look upon me shall be saved. And what he's saying is, when we get to that point where we say we can't look any deeper, we can't look any further, this is impossible, right? It feels like death. It feels unbearable to acknowledge whatever it is that we've done, acknowledge whatever it is that we're suffering. This is where Jesus says, I'm taking all that on, and I'll show it to you. You just look to me, and that will be good enough. That will be good enough. So my friends, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. This life has come close to us today and in our lives, and I pray that we may look within and put all that we can see up onto Christ, who carries it for us. But when we can't, I pray that we look to him anyway. Amen.